praying to Thee for the wonderful privilege again that we have tonight of being together and lifting up these requests unto Thy throne. We thank You, Father, that we can have confidence to know that You hear us and that You answer our prayers. We thank You, Father, that You are concerned about each need that each of us have and the needs of the whole world. We thank You for each one that's here tonight. We ask that You would touch each of our hearts, and if those that are hurting especially, we ask that You would comfort them and minister especially unto them. We pray for those that are not with us that would like to be, and we ask for them too, Lord, that You'd minister to their needs. Again, we thank You for Your word, and as we open it now, Lord, we ask that we would each be blessed from Thee and from Thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's been a sweet hour of prayer. It's a wonderful privilege that we all enjoy to gather together in a meeting like this and to be able to talk to the Father, which is in heaven. But you know, before we can join in a prayer service like this and before we can speak unto the Father, which is in heaven, we must pray the prayer that opens the way to the way. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Me." And we must be able to pray the believer's prayer before we can pray any other prayer for the Father to hear us. There's a story, of course, that we're familiar with in Acts chapter 8 that tells us of Saul's conversion. And I want to read you the... of Acts chapter 8, and it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison." This man, Saul, was a persecutor. He was a persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 7, the 58th verse, speaking of Stephen at his murder, it says, "And they cast him," speaking of Stephen, "out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." We are told this is the same Saul, Saul of Tarsus. This man was a persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ. He was also an accessory to murder in the case of Stephen. And this man had committed these crimes, but yet he couldn't pray but one prayer. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 5, we read this, that the Lord says unto Stephen, unto Saul, He says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou Me?" And I hope that each one of us have come to the place where the Lord has spoken unto us. Saul answered and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord." This is the place that Paul came to, or Saul as he was first known, came to, where he bowed the knee and prayed the believer's prayer. This is the place where Saul accepted the Lord as his Savior. We're told in Acts 26, when Saul was speaking to King Agrippa, he clearly defined his conversion and his repentance. May I read for you from Acts 26, and when Saul was talking to King Agrippa, he said that this gospel opens people's eyes and turns them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that all may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance to them which are sanctified by faith. And this is where Saul explained to King Agrippa what happened to him when he was saved. Tonight, if there's any amongst us that don't know the Lord as their Savior, this is the most important decision that we can make. This is the first prayer that must be made, because the Father cannot hear a prayer until the prayer of salvation is prayed. And if anyone is here and doesn't know the Lord, I urge you to talk to me or any of us before you leave tonight, please. It's the greatest decision that anyone can ever make in their life. So Saul, you know, had heard the gospel plenty. Saul had been very active, as we're told in the book of Acts, throwing Christians into prison. And you know that Saul couldn't go up into people's houses, especially, and take them out of their house and throw them into prison without hearing the gospel message. And may we also be faithful, as those Christians did, to share the gospel message everywhere we go and in everything we do. And as we have enjoyed in our prayers tonight, speaking of the gospel work around the world, we need to be faithful to pray that the gospel would go forth. The next thing that happened in the life of Saul after his conversion, we read in Acts 9:11 that, behold, he prayed. Speaking of Saul, it said, behold, he prayeth. Because after Saul prayed the believer's prayer, he could pray as we prayed here tonight. He had access to the throne of God. And prayer is such a wonderful privilege. We sing that song so often here at Park of the Palms. The veil is rent, lo, Jesus stands before the throne of grace, and clouds of incense from his hands fill all the glorious place. Yes, this is our privilege as born-again believers, to pray unto the Lord. Because there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. A song that was a couple before the course we sang tonight in the course book has been on my heart for several weeks as I thought about the meeting tonight. I knew it from Sunday school, and I expect most of you did too. And it goes like this: whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. Tonight I'd like us to look at, for our Bible study, at this course as an outline. And I thought about the first word of each phrase. It said, whisper a prayer. And I thought about that, and I wondered what kind of scripture we could find to support the whispering of prayer. And I'd like to read to you, if I could, from Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6, and it reads like this: and when thou prayest — now notice it doesn't say if thou prayest, it says when thou prayest — thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I trust that we are Christians of the when family, not the if. When we pray, shall we pray in secret? And I think that supports the whisper part of this little course, to whisper a prayer in the morning, noon, and evening. The morning, noon, and evening part, I'd like to reference Psalms 57:17, and it reads this way: evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Wonderful confidence, isn't it, for those of us that know the Lord and walk with him? He shall hear my voice. And we do have that privilege to whisper a prayer in the morning, noon, and evening, and know that he shall hear our voice. Tonight, as we break down this course into three parts, I'd like us to think of the morning time as both morning literally and also as the beginning of life, as the beginning time. I'd like to think of us to think of noon as both literal noontime and the heat of the day. And I'd like us to think of evening as both evening time and the twilight years of life. Whisper a prayer in the morning. David, a great man of God, prays to the Lord in the morning in Psalms 5:3, and I'll read it for you. It says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. In Proverbs 8:17 we read, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. In Psalm 63:1 we read, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Whisper a prayer in the morning. Now I'd like us, if we could please, to turn to 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And for our example of whispering a prayer in the morning, I'd like us to look at the story of Hannah. That's 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll start reading in the 10th verse. 1 Samuel 1:10. Hannah, as we all know the story well, I'm sure, was a wonderful lady who had a problem that she was barren from her youth, and she had never had a child. And God had a wonderful plan for Hannah in his history of mankind. Let's read in the 10th verse of 1 Samuel 1. And she was in bitterness, this is speaking of Hannah, of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and will not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul unto the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was sad no more. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord. Now let's skip over to verse 24, please. And when she had weaned him, this is after she had her child, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee there praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he shall live, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. What a beautiful story of whispering a prayer in the morning, in the beginning of a life, in the beginning of a legacy. It's a wonderful story that encourages our hearts, because the Lord is faithful. But as we think of this passage, I noticed that Hannah was humble. In verse 10, we see that. It says, She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Hannah was humble. I also see in verse 11 that Hannah was honest. In verse 11, she said exactly what her heart was feeling to the Lord. She was open before the Lord. And in verse 15, we see that Hannah was honorable. She stood up and she said, No, I have not done wrong, but I am just weird. I'm just grieved in my heart. So she was honorable. And I thought about Hannah's qualities as she whispered her prayer in the morning of being humble, honest, and honorable. And I know that, dear brothers and sisters, each of us can relate to those experiences. When we pray before the Lord, may we always be of a humble spirit, submissive to the Lord as Hannah was. May we be honest before the Lord and have no hidden sin and no hidden motive. Hannah's motive was wide open to the Lord. And may we be honorable and of an upright spirit when we speak to our Lord. Now let's look at whispering a prayer at noon. If you would turn with me, please, to Joshua 10. I just have one passage for this to keep us from turning too much. And this is a beautiful story in Joshua chapter 10. We'll start reading in the first verse of Joshua 10. Now it came to pass, when Adoni Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so had he done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly. Because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, Adoni Zedek, king of Jerusalem, said unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhiah, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, and all their host encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, and come to us quickly and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon. In verse 11 it says that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven. Now skip down, please, to verse 12. And they spoke unto Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hastened not to go down for a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua has a wonderful experience here that encourages our hearts also as we think of whispering a prayer at noon. This was not only a noontime event, but it was definitely in the heat of the day or the heat of the battle. It was a very strenuous battle, a very important battle. And we see that in verse 14 that Joshua's prayer was a notorious prayer. It says that there was never a day like it before or after that, that the Lord hearkened unto a man in that way. Yes, it was a notorious prayer. It was also a noontime prayer, as we see in verse 13. It said that the sun stood still and the moon stayed. And in the last part of the verse it says, the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down for about a whole day. It was a noontime prayer. We also see, when we look at this story in Joshua, that it was a no-time prayer. Now you'll have to excuse my little cliche, but it was a no-time prayer. And what I mean by that is this was a time of the day when there was no time to pray. How many times, brothers and sisters, do we feel the same way? The last thing we have time to do is to say a prayer in the middle of the battle. Joshua knew that he was fighting the Lord's battle. He knew he was living right. He knew he was doing what God wanted him to do. So why should he take time to pray? But he did. And this is our example for tonight as we think of whispering a prayer at noontime. Joshua prayed a no-time prayer. He stopped anyhow and talked to the Lord. And he said, Lord, he said, the sun needs to stand still. And the Lord did it for him. Never before had that happened, but it was a no-time prayer. And as we think of our noontime prayers that come in the heat of the day and how it affects us, we need to make sure that we pray prayers that are contiguous with the events of the day, just as Joshua did. That we take the events of the day and we are able to turn them over to the Lord as Joshua did, and to experience the victories that the Lord showed Joshua in our own lives. And as we think of Joshua's notorious prayer, I can't help but think of the faith that Joshua exerted when he asked the Lord to have the sun stand still. For 24 hours or so, I guess it's reported that it was less than that, a certain amount. For that period of time, Joshua had faith that the Lord would answer his prayer and make the sun stand still. And of course, we're told that if we have faith, but as a grain of mustard seed, we'll say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and to be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And that's our opportunity as we think of Joshua and his whispering a prayer at noon. I'd like to look at a few verses for whispering a prayer in the evening. And I'll just read you a couple. Psalm 63, 5 and 6 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. I know that each of us can relate to that so well. Have we had sleepless nights? This is the answer, and we all know that well. The Lord sends them to us many times just for this reason, and it definitely heals the soul. In Luke 2, we see a story of Anna. She was praying in her twilight years, again whispering a prayer in the evening or the twilight years. And let me read this to you from Luke 2, 36 to 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instance gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Another wonderful testimony of one that whispered prayers in the evening. For our story, I'd like to switch, if we can, to 1 Kings. If you can turn with me, please, to 1 Kings. I want to read one other story that's so familiar. Brother Jim brought us a message about the brook Cherith, and this is shortly after that period of time. So I won't read quite as much. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, and we'll start in verse 20. 1 Kings 18:20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And he, we got time. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you 1 bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth. and must be awakened. And then they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed upon them. Skip to verse 31, please. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. And he said, Do it a second time, and they did it a second time. And he said, Do it a third time, and they did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And we know the rest of the story. The fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and the altar and the fire, and the Lord answered in a mighty way. But as we think of Elijah's prayer in the evening, it's clear that Elijah had a wonderful conviction, we see in verse 21. In verse 21, Elijah came to the people and he said, How long halt ye between 2 opinions? Elijah had a conviction. We see that he had a confrontation in verse 27, where he made fun of the enemy. And he said, If your God's real, maybe he's asleep. Call louder and see if you can wake him. Because Elijah knew his God, and he knew that they had no God. And Elijah also had wonderful confidence when he whispered his evening prayers, we see in verse 36 and 37. He asked the Lord, he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God. He had great confidence. And we too, dear brothers and sisters, when we pray, especially in the evening, may we as Elijah stand forth as Christians with great conviction. Conviction as we have prayed together tonight in our prayers of right and wrong, of moral absolutes, of things that we know that need to be spoken. May we have a confrontation with the enemy, because the enemy needs to be defeated. And the Lord is victor. And may we also continue in the confidence that Elijah showed us at this time. There's one thing that prevents us from being successful in prayer. And we all know what it is, because I'm sure, like me, you all have been there before and have this problem regularly. And it's sin. Sin hinders the prayer of saints. It stops the prayers of saints. I'd like to read you 3 verses, if I may, please. The first one is from 1 Peter 3:7. It says, Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, speaking of our wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So how can I hinder my prayers? By not fulfilling that verse. And each of us as husbands have an extra responsibility to keep our prayers from being hindered. Also in 1 Peter 3 in the 12th verse it says, For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Wonderful promise for those of us that want to walk with Jesus. It says, The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to our prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This is written to believers, because we are capable of doing evil. And the face of the Lord is against us if we're doing wrong. But if we live right for the Lord, the eyes of the Lord are over us, and his blessing is upon us, and his ears are open to our prayers. One more verse from Isaiah 59:1-2. and Brother Run shares this one regularly, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Sin is the detriment to the Christian's prayer life. May we each, as we whisper prayers in the morning, noon, and night, be effective with our prayers and keep sin out of our lives, and make sure that our prayers are those that offer wonderful praise to the Lord, as well as bring the needs that we're awakened to in our lives, the life of our church, our community, our towns, our country, around the world, to Him in faithfulness. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father, we thank You again for Your Word, which is living. We thank You, Father, for how it encourages our hearts. May each of us go forth to serve You with a clean, pure, true heart, that we might be a pleasure, first of all, Lord, in Your sight, and that we might bring praise and glory to Your name as You desire. We do pray especially tonight, dear Lord, for all those of Your family around the world that are suffering, especially those that are suffering persecution. We ask, Lord, that You administer to their needs. And again, we thank You for this time we've had together tonight to offer our hearts prayers up to Thee in Jesus' name.